Welcome to the weekend and this edition of the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick. You can catch up with me and our Florida Roundtable podcast at BillMick.com. Hope your Thanksgiving was as good as my trip home to my native land of West Virginia was. It was cold, it was snowy, but it was a great Thanksgiving nonetheless. If the November election showed us anything, it's that attitudes in America are changing, and that includes our trust in media and the news sources that we're consuming. Today, we'll explore the changing media landscape with two journalists who've watched and been impacted by the changes driving media today. Matt Reed and Wayne Price both hail from the newspaper industry and witnessed these changes firsthand. We'll share their observations and insights with you today on the Florida Roundtable here from the Florida News Network. Stay with us.
To kids from 1 to 92, although it's been said many times, many ways, stay safe on the water, boaters old and new.
Whether you're a seasoned boater or just getting your sea legs, life jackets save lives. Choose from vests or easy-to-wear inflatables. No matter what life jacket you wear, you'll be able to enjoy the holidays on the beautiful Florida waters. Happy holidays from the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission.
Visit myfwc.com for more information.
Planning holiday get-togethers means making tough, last-minute decisions. But preparing the perfect meal shouldn't be one of them. So let the Fresh from Florida Club help. Members can browse hundreds of recipes, from sweet corn and sausage stuffing to Florida spiny lobster bisque, each with local in-season ingredients to create and save holiday menus ahead of time. Visit freshfromflorida.com and join the free Fresh from Florida Club. It could be the easiest decision you'll make all year.
Now you can get generic Viagra shipped to your door for about $2 a pill. Get the same impact for less. Call Steel Man Pills now and get the same blue pill for about $2 a pill. Call now for the 50-pill special and save even more. Plus, get a free bonus.
800-621-4764. 800-621-4764. That's 800-621-4764.
Healthcare.gov has plans for health because you have plans for life. All plans cover doctor visits and emergency care to keep you and your family running strong. All plans cover hospital stays and prescriptions so you can have peace of mind. Visit healthcare.gov to explore health plans from the brands you know. 4 out of 5 customers can find a health plan for $10 or less per month with financial help. Enroll at healthcare.gov by December 15th for coverage starting January 1st. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Glad you're with us this weekend for the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick, and we're taking a look at the changing media landscape this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. Joining me in the studio, both journalists in their own right. Matt Reed is with us. So is Wayne Price. And Matt, let's start with you just to get this audience a little caught up on your journalism background. Start with school and where you went from there.
Oh, sure. Well, I spent the first 25 years of my career in daily news. The last, I think, 17 of that was in Brevard County, Florida, at Florida Today, now part of the USA Today network. Did just about every job there was. Started out, you know, coming up as a beat reporter and investigations kind of specialist. And along with Wayne, who's here with us today, I think one of our jobs was to help transform what had been the traditional forms of business and election and local government coverage into digital formats and things that would work for people on phones. And
that's where
and
the
laptops.
Big change started, didn't it?
Yeah. And then I got a bug to try being on the news-making side of things. And for the last few years, I've been a media relations and communication person for first the large school district here in Florida and now at Lockheed Martin in Orlando.
Oh, wow. So you've – and it's still journalism, though. You're still doing the work, doing the digging and getting the information out there.
You still do a lot of reporting to put together stories. We also have our own news, you know, sites that we do. But also there is a lot of working with media every week. And in the job that I have now, I've been doing it with people around the world, particularly in Europe and a little bit in Asia as well. And, man, the rate of change and the type of people that we deal with just changes every year.
I'll bet it does. Wayne Price, let's talk about your background for a minute.
You know, a lot of it, you know, attracts Matt. You know, Matt and I used to work together at the local newspaper here. I grew up in the Midwest, and when I first got into journalism, I was covering a lot of government, local government, and moved to New York and did some local government, state government. That's where I first got introduced to political campaigns. And then I moved to Florida. I concentrated mostly on business and economic development and issues surrounding that. And you know what Matt said was true. It was a very transformational era in the newspaper business, where you're going digital and you're starting to incorporate video and audio and podcast and everything else. A very exciting time to be in the business. I left about 5 years ago to work for a local health nonprofit, and as part of that, I help other local nonprofits get a bigger presence in the media, just do some consulting work. And, you know, obviously they're nonprofits, they work on a budget, so I try to help them, you know, do things on a shoestring and get their name out there and get their mission out there and find out ways to promote that.
Very, very good. You mentioned, both of you, how the landscape is changing, and a lot of that is due to corporate downsizing, that the news is a for-profit business. How that has impacted the business you guys came from. You've seen newspapers shrink staff-wise and not covering the things they used to cover. That had to take a toll on a newsroom of people who grew up like you guys, digging into the news and being able to report it daily. How did that hit you?
Well, the thing that was so frustrating working in a newsroom, especially, you know, through the 2000s, was that we were killing it at building audience. I mean, we were early adopters of social media, blogs. We did, you know, cable television shows that were repurposed for YouTube and pushed out as clips on social media, stuff that's now part of the everyday playbook for celebrity, you know, influencers and the like. I think we tripled our audience online very quickly, but it has taken a long time for the business side to catch up.
Monetizing what they were doing online.
Yeah. What I think a lot of local news sites have learned over time is that display advertising is not what it used to be, that you need to be more involved in digital marketing, and an audience can be very valuable, but figuring that stuff out has been a lot slower than figuring out how to deliver news.
The changing media landscape in front of us this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. Matt Reed and Wayne Price with us, and we're back in moments on the Florida News Network.
Ho, ho, ho! And what can I get you, little girl?
Well, Santa, I'd love to get an apple tree and peach tree and a blueberry bush and herbs, too.
That's a lot for the elves to handle.
Oh, Santa, just stop by Quality Green Specialist.
Plants and flowers always make beautiful holiday gifts. Head on over to Quality Green Specialist's new location at 335 West Michigan Avenue in DeLand, or at qualitygreenspecialist.com. Great plants, sustainable products, friendly expert advice.
You know, I thought you'd be into gardening, Santa.
Why?
Because you like to ho, ho, ho.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it.
800-410-6385. 800-410-6385. 800-410-6385. That's 800-410-6385.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision. Especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed, high. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Ho-ho, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Welcome back to the Florida Roundtable. Bill Mick with Matt Reed and Wayne Price, both journalists and still practicing and working, although maybe not as they thought they would when they started their careers. We're talking the change in media landscape here on the Roundtable this weekend. Wayne, when you were on my local show, we had a discussion about mainstream media versus legacy media, and those things are changing, it seems. Came up with basically a definition for mainstream media as what most users are diving into for their media sources. Legacy media being the traditional media, newspapers, TV, radio, that type of thing. And there's a shift coming in all of this that maybe came most to light in the presidential election as podcasting became big and was a huge influence in that. Wayne, how did you experience that transition, and what do you see out of that right now?
Well, first of all, when you made the distinction between the terms mainstream and legacy media, it was almost like mainstream media was a pejorative, and so they needed a different term. And I had noticed that you used the word legacy media, and I noticed some other people started using that term also, as opposed to mainstream media, like that mm-hmm. was...
Well, I think the mainstream's changing. I think that the population is going somewhere else, is what it seems like to me.
I think if this election brought out anything, is that people had other sources to go to than traditional, you know, cable and broadcast news. I was looking at some stats, you know, and, you know, 4 years ago, 57 million people were at a cable news or broadcast station. This past election, it was 42.3. That's a huge
drop. That's significant. Yeah,
and those people want their news. They're going elsewhere. I guess they're going to podcasts or websites that, you know, maybe weren't around, you know, just a few years ago.
Yeah, and we're seeing those kind of things. Matt, what did it look like for you?
Well, I think one of the more unusual trends that I've seen is what you might call the nationalization of news. We talk about legacy media. I agree with that distinction. But one of the trends we've seen is the sites that are succeeding, and with a lot of subscribers and with advertising and most any other way, shareholders, are these giant national brands like the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times. I would put today mainstream political kind of channels like Fox News and MSNBC and CNN into that group, certainly the broadcast stations. And what's interesting is that even though those have grown and are the biggest, trust in those sites has really, really dropped. Among people on the left end of the political spectrum, it's a fairly unspectacular 50% across all different age groups. But on the right end of the political spectrum, it has plunged to about 20% of people trust those legacy news sites. And that goes across age groups. So it's really striking to see that. At the same
time, are you citing a cause for that? Do you understand why that's going on?
I don't know why, but I think it's probably has to do with both reputation, maybe some deserved reputation for, you know, what you emphasize in stories. I think there's also just an incredible variety of people who are entrepreneurial and filling that void that some people have for news that they want to see about either their candidates that's trying to follow or the issues that matter to them.
That's something we've done in radio, that you can now pick us up on that device in your hand. You can mm-hmm. listen live. You can listen to podcasts of our shows and that type of thing on demand when you want it, on the device you want it on. And I think that was a key for other media to pick up on. And I'm grateful that my employer was on this curve early and it made it possible. Wayne, we've talked about this in the past on my local show about the cause for this and its perceived bias that is clearly there in the media.
Yeah, I think, you know, I was looking at a stat from the Gallup poll of trusted media. 1976, you know, 75% of Republicans trusted the media.
Uh-huh.
In October, that number dropped to 54. But think, for Republicans in 1974, it was 63%. You know, today it's 12%. It's a huge drop. And why? I think it kind of tracks to when people started figuring out there are other sources of news. They weren't dependent on traditional broadcast news stations or newspapers to get their news. If they think, hey, I don't really trust those guys, I don't think I'm getting the full story, I can go to this different website. I can go to this different podcast.
What's it take to get the to earn the credibility from the listener or the viewer?
That's a tough call, isn't it? Maybe Matt can answer that. I'm not sure. I mean, you just have to be fair. It's really as simple as that. There's thousands of ways to be fair. It's in headlines. It's the stories you choose. It's the narratives you start with on stories. It's the stories you don't cover. It's a million things.
Well, when we all grew up, even in my junior high days, you go downstairs, mom wakes you up, you go downstairs, you get around the dining room table. I had a newspaper in my hand. It might have been for the comics and for the sports, but there was a newspaper in my hand, and that was a primary source. Walter Cronkite and those guys in the evening, your primary source for news at night. And that's changed some because you can have it anytime you want it, wherever you are now, and more people can get engaged in it than did before. I think that's changed the landscape some too. Matt?
I think I've seen something different as just a student of the business going back, you know, generations now. It used to be that people would make their choices of what kind of media they wanted to consume and what their favorite places were, and they'd generally stay not only brand loyal to some of their favorite networks and sites and newspapers, but they'd stick with the same type of media for most of their adult lives. You know, we didn't have people quitting newspapers to go to websites. What we had years ago was people who read newspapers were just getting older and sort of phasing out of the population, while people my age who grew up with Internet Explorer on their laptop computers were just becoming a bigger part of the population. I think that has changed today. We're going through a big bang of reorganization and creative destruction, if you want to call it. Here's an anecdote. I live in a condominium tower with 70 units on the Indian River overlooking Cocoa Village. Would you believe, and we are all like Gen X to baby boom age people, would you believe that I am the last home delivery newspaper subscriber out of 70 households?
Yes, I would.
my daily copy of the Wall Street Journal that I pick up after the gym is the last newspaper delivered to that building. And I have people who are 80 years old telling me every day, oh, I used to get a newspaper, but they kind of gave up on delivering it, you know, and so I get it all on my phone now. And I did not expect to see
you
that.
You didn't expect the boomers to be leading the way into technology, did you?
I still
you?
Get it on my phone all day, but, you know, we have a ritual in my household, and, mm-hmm. you know, it goes mm-hmm. good with coffee.
Well, there's that. Wayne, going back to the credibility issue, and we mentioned that this election really showed us something about choices people are making, where they go for media. MSNBC and The Morning Joe spent 7 years hammering Donald Trump and had not spoken to him for whatever, and they and other media entities bought in to the Democratic campaign's lines that this guy is Hitler, he's going to ruin democracy, he's bringing fascism here. And I think that turned off a lot of America, and folks started looking for sources that didn't do that. I mean, whether he did it or not, Walter Cronkite had a reputation for delivering the news, this is it, and that's the way it is. And it was, as far as we were all concerned.
Well, right. I think MSNBC and its conservative counterparts, I got to think those are the places that people went to kind of confirm what they already felt about.
There's a lot of that confirmation bias.
I think so. And I think that's why people go to Fox News, obviously, because they know Fox News is going to cover this one way. And they'll go to MSNBC because they know MSNBC is going to cover it one way. It's why they go to certain podcasts. But some of the best podcasts, it gets brought up a lot, is Joe Rogan. I can't pin a button on him and say where he's coming from politically at all. I really can't.
No, I also can't stomach 3 hours.
Well,
but
there's that.
The tidbits that come out, that's strange for a guy who hosts a 3-hour show every day, but the tidbits that come out are, they appear to be hard hitting. They appear to be fair and interested in hearing what's going on.
I'd agree with that. I think Bill Maher, to some extent, does that too.
I respect Bill Maher because he takes on his own, much like I take on my own on my local show.
Right.
I think there's a responsibility there that if you can't hold your own accountable, you don't have any business trying to hold anybody else that way. It's just how it should be. Matt, what do you see as far as the bias angle goes and people shifting their choices because of that?
Well, I think one thing that I've seen change in the last decade or so is how people perceive their audiences. When we were a legacy news site, you know, whether it was a newspaper or website, whatever, one of the things we really focused on was trying to see a mainstream audience as taxpayers, as consumers, or people who were affected by insurance rates. I don't see a lot of that happening. I see more focus on social issues because you...
Well, it's been an emphasis this past several years of multiple administrations, right?
On the media relations side, representing an organization, not so much a technology company, but more when I was with the school district, it was pretty common to have a reporter walk through the door, well, really just enter your email, and they'd already decided that they were going to watchdog you on a social issue, and there just was no way to win. They're just, you know, whatever
you... You do remember having been that reporter at one point in your life, right?
Well, I mean, I was trying to find waste, fraud, and abuse.
Absolutely.
In the mechanic shop, or I was trying to, you know, analyze whether, you know, a certain approach to education was actually working and raising, you know, literacy rates. It wasn't so much about, you know, what bathroom people used or, you know, whether a certain book was the right thing to have on the shelf in the library. That's completely taken over.
I think that's what a lot of the public was tired of, and I think we saw that reflected in this election.
I think that Donald Trump seized on that. I think that the economic discontent and the need, I think there's a real desire among people to just have growth and opportunity that has, I think we saw that when, for example, when Governor DeSantis kept businesses open a lot more and didn't shut them down during COVID, and kept more jobs alive and more small businesses alive because of that, people stepped up and rewarded him with like a 20-point landslide victory.
That's
after
true.
That.
Yeah.
And I think there was some of that went to work in this past election. And, you know, we now have a president that focused on business growth, and people were out willing to overlook other things to get that opportunity for themselves.
Interesting to think of in that fashion. And where we're going for media is changing. We're going to talk about some of that. You mentioned Bill Maher already, Wayne, and Joe Rogan as well. Are they the new media? I want to explore that when we come back on the Florida Roundtable. Where are people going? Why are they going there? And can it attain the credibility it needs to be viable as that news source? This weekend on the Roundtable.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf.
Call 800-989-1647. 800-989-1647. That's 800-989-1647.
Boating in Florida, it's a year-round deal. But when alcohol is involved, the chances of disaster increase. When you drink and operate a boat, it doesn't just affect you. It affects your friends and the rest of the people around you. It violates Florida law to boat under the influence of alcohol or drugs. But most importantly, it's a risk that can turn a great day into one to forget. To learn more about best practices while boating, visit myfwc.com.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. Growing up with a brother with autism, Sarah Crump witnessed firsthand how kids with disabilities felt left out by their peers. It's why at the age of 15, Sarah approached her cheerleading coach with an idea to include girls with disabilities on her school's cheer team. Well, what started out as an inclusive high school cheer team in a small town in Iowa has led to what is now known as Sparkle Effect, a thriving nonprofit with over 180 cheer teams across the United States, bringing students with and without disabilities together through cheerleading. The result? More confidence, higher grades, and better school attendance for kids with disabilities. And for those without a disability, new friends and a greater empathy. You want to learn more? Well, visit disabilitycampaign.org, where we have posted a link to the fabulous work known as the Sparkle Effect.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Imagine. Imagine being denied an apartment because of your religion, or your race, or because you have children, or a disability.
It's so wrong.
Yes, but who has the power to stop this?
You do. Each of us has the power. The law is on your side. It's illegal for landlords to discriminate because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. If you suspect that you have experienced housing discrimination, file a complaint with HUD immediately so we can investigate it. Fair housing is your right.
Use it.
To learn more, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Or call 1-800-669-9777. 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Back on the Florida Roundtable, Bill Mick with Wayne Price and Matt Reed, journalists who have experienced and observed the change in media. That's what we're talking about this weekend on the Roundtable. Wayne, we were talking about Joe Rogan, Bill Maher, other podcasts that are out there, some politically slanted, others maybe not so much so. It appears, at least in the November election, that these podcasts became very influential, Joe Rogan in particular, in the long-form interview being what people either wanted or respected what they heard out of it. What's it take for those things? And are they going to become the new mainstream media?
Yeah, I think what I see is like when you some of these other channels, when you see the talking heads, and it's always you always like go for the argument, right? You want your parties arguing back and forth, but you go on a podcast, it's a conversation.
Discussion, yeah.
You rarely get into that. And I started listening to probably Joe Rogan right around COVID when he started taking a lot of heat for his treatment, like ivermectin or whatever he was taking.
Taking the horse paste.
Yeah. And he had the doctor from CNN on because he'd taken some heat for taking it. It was a very fascinating discussion. And it was fair. It was long, you're right. But it was very thorough, very enjoyable. So I can see how people will start heading to podcasts.
That's what I miss about what you guys did. I am a print media guy, and it took the 3 hours. It took 3 weeks for you guys to go out, investigate a story, find the witnesses, get the information, put the story together. But it was thorough. And the way the information was presented, me being a former cop, I appreciate facts being presented and the source material for them. I get a lot of commentary on my weekday show, and I'm frequently asking my listeners, where did you get the information? What's the reliability of that source? And are we going to be able to see that out of the new media, whatever it ends up being, Matt?
I think so. I think there are a couple of reasons for that. First, we talked about podcasts just a second ago. I think podcasts have saved long-form journalism, particularly the interview. And that was something that was hard to do in print. It was easier to do for YouTube and a TV show, and now podcasts. It's fantastic to see them succeed. They're succeeding because I think people have a hunger to hear interesting people interviewed and share what they know. I think there's some universal things that news consumers want. That's one of them. I think we also see, going back to those numbers about trust, for example, one of the other things that those same batches of numbers from Pew and others show is that the trust in local media and local news is pretty high among both people on the left and on the right. I think part of that is because people can see and touch the issues that are local to them. And it's harder to get away with the hot take on a national thing. You know, you watch the, somebody called them the panel industrial complex on the, cable stations. It's like, who can have the hottest take in 20 seconds or less?
Mm-hmm.
And on a podcast, you can have that hot take, but then the host is,
you better have some stuff.
The usual is
going to
say, okay, what now? You know, where did you get that from? And they want to go deeper, and it can be a little calmer. And I think that's refreshing to a lot of people, and that's good to see.
You and I have spent some time together on weekend public affairs television in the Orlando region, and some good experiences. But I found television to be very limiting. If you didn't tackle a subject and get it over with in 6 minutes, you weren't going to talk about it again. It was gone because they're out of time and have to move on. You've got a daughter who is in Orlando television media doing a great job. I'm proud of that girl. But it's a different world for her than it was for you and I.
Oh, it is. I was just coming into the world where a journalist had to be sort of a master of all media and throughout the course of their day. And she lives in that. Molly Reed, who is a reporter for Local 6 covering Volusia County, that's my chip off the old block. But she works her own camera most days.
Yeah.
She's got to post her stories and post in social media several times a day to engage with her audience and share the news. She's writing for the news website for Click Orlando, which is part of their organization. She does all of those things. I've run out of things to advise her on, except usually how to go get some public records and dig a little deeper.
Dad, how did you used to do this? I kind of like that. Wayne, Matt just mentioned something that is something we didn't used to deal with, which is the social media side of this. How important is that in this new media landscape?
I think that's where, especially a younger generation, that's where they're, when they say they get their news, it's from TikTok. It's from, you know, X/Twitter. I've just started really getting into getting information off Twitter. I've just really resisted it, and I can see where the allure is. It's quick. You snap your fingers, and it'll take you to a different site. Then you have to really trust that site that it takes you to to get the news. But incredible pressure, especially on local papers. It's just
As impatient as the audience appears to be, are they going to invest the time? Are they going to take that 20-second tidbit or that three-sentence story, and are they going to research it? Are they going to get more information? Or are they just going to take it as it's fed and keep moving?
Well, that's the secret sauce, isn't it? Because, I mean, we live in that society now where we just want a quick answer sometimes, very quick, you know. And that's where the fairness comes in. We not only want it quick, we want it authentic, and we want it fair.
Well, let me ask you this. Is journalism now different? Or is it just that the tools have changed and we've got to adjust how we present it?
Well, in my mind, it should still be the same. Obviously, it's the presentation and the methods of presenting are different. But I hope the mission's the same.
Wayne or Matt, I saw your eyebrows go up.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. And I've had some recent experience with this doing corporate communications. We had some technology recently that we wanted to announce. It was a pretty big deal that would help, you know, NATO countries and their air forces and armies team up with new, you know, kind of technology. And so we planned, you know, the usual like press release and maybe a media briefing at the Farnborough Air Show in the UK. And in Europe, we got the story got picked up by, you know, some of the sites you might expect, like Jane's is one of the old defense and aviation coverage things. In the United States, that story got picked up by one of these kind of entrepreneurial journalists named Alex Hollings, who has a YouTube show called Air Power and all kinds of arrangements with other publications that pick up his content. That one guy told that story seven different ways, some of them as long as 6 to 7 minutes with video on a TikTok, you know, post that got millions of views. This one guy with seven different outlets, empowered by these different platforms, was able to tell this story in a super engaging way that super serves an audience of followers to help get this story out that was important to us in ways that we were just not getting the same with some of the newspapers and traditional sites that picked us up in, let's say, Poland and, okay. and Germany. So it was really fascinating. I think the United States is pretty, from what I've seen, is a few years ahead of some of the other places in the world on this. Maybe it's because of our for-profit and kind of free enterprise approach to media. But I think we're seeing a lot of change. And I think we're seeing some interesting new formats and ways to be served as an audience because of that.
Let's go to this entrepreneurial journalist you've mentioned for a minute, because when you guys got into this business, and I got into it probably a little after you guys did because I had a career before I got into radio, you had a career you could go into. You knew it was going to be necessary. You knew it was going to be there. You were going to be able to make a living out of this. And can that single journalist guy out there with a niche audience be able to make a living doing this now? I mean, can he do that?
Well, that's tough. If you got some advertisers and you got some people willing to bankroll it, if you know, get on Spotify or something, sure. But it's still tough.
Matt?
You can, but it's hard. You got to hustle. I tried it for a year. Unfortunately, it was in the middle of the pandemic. I had no shortage of work. Had some good partnerships here with the Space Coast Daily and Eastern Florida State College. It's there. You can make a living, but you can't ever take a breath. It's hard to build. And I think one of the things I would share about media, local news, especially here in Florida, is that it's just going to take time. It takes time to build an audience. It takes time to build an email list or whatever your model is. We're not going to see it tomorrow, but there will be large, important, successful news companies again. They just haven't found the right formula yet.
You think it's out there?
I think it is. And I think it's going to start with these people who just, A, love journalism, love storytelling, but also are pretty smart about the business.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've got friends, both in and out of radio, who have tried or are trying the podcast route. And I think having a traditional base, whether it's radio, TV, newspaper, is a big leap ahead as far as generating an audience, getting an audience to know who you are and where you're going to be. And I think that's going to be key. As you said, generating the audience is what it's going to be about, because that eventually brings the revenue. And as much as we may love news, you got to have revenue or you're not going to eat. We've got more, the changing landscape of media, this weekend on the Roundtable.
Seatbelts are your first line of defense on the road, but they only save lives when worn, and worn correctly. In Florida, it's the law. All drivers, all front seat passengers, and all passengers under 18 must fasten their seatbelts. So, during those long holiday trips, everyone in the vehicle must remain safely buckled at all times. From highway to holiday, arrive alive this season. For more tips, visit flhsmv.gov/holiday. Brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
There's a price war in the insurance business, and you may be paying too much. Call the Term Lifeline right now and see if you can save 40%. $500,000 plans and up, that's our specialty. Even great smokers rates. Protect your family today. Call the Term Lifeline right now for a free quote. 866-558-TERM, 866-558-TERM, 866-558-TERM.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 10 million people. Without destroying your credit, they can reduce your interest rates, lower your total payments up to 30 to 50% to get you out of debt fast. For a free consultation, call Consolidated Credit now. The program works. Call 1-800-206-6755. 1-800-206-6755. 1-800-206-6755. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Inc. 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 80092. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation. Commission License Number DC 83. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action, not a loan company.
Back on the Florida Roundtable on the Florida News Network as we discuss the changing media landscape. One of the changes that I noted during the presidential election, as Matt Reed and Wayne Price are with us, both journalists who have been through this world, still live in that world, the LA Times, ordered by their owner, you're not going to do an endorsement. How about you present fair and balanced account, good and bad, both candidates? The Washington Post, a similar situation, and revolt in the newsrooms when they weren't apparently acting as activists for one candidate or the other. Matt, you went through this when you were with Florida Today. You had times when you were endorsing. You had other times when your editorial page did not endorse. And we saw that go back and forth. What goes into that decision, and how does that impact credibility of media?
Well, I think one of the things we discovered was that the days of, you know, being so powerful that you could just preach at your audience are pretty well over. The places that still do it okay are the places that have absolutely embraced their identity as a conservative, you know, site or a liberal one or a pro-business one, and they just get after it from that point of view and they don't lose any audience. But trying to be a mainstream community news site, you know, here in Florida, and taking editorial stands on, say, the presidential race, where people have such firm emotional stands, is hard on your business.
Okay.
And I think that some of these national companies have all kinds of other interests, you know, like licenses in front of the FCC and things that, you know, Donald Trump has said that he's willing to clamp down on if they continue to attack him. So I think we tried to do things in a way that was local and responsive, where we would get a whole community group together of different views, and we'd come up with a score sheet that was different issues. And then we would give those score sheets to different people, and we'd hear candidates at forums, and we'd go down and we'd score the candidates. We'd add up those scores, and we would use those scores as the basis for our endorsements, and then show the score sheet. And it sure, yeah, it definitely generated a lot of debate. We'd still get some nasty email, but for the most part.
But if you had the score sheet, the credibility came along with your decision at that point, right?
Exactly. Okay. It was like, take this for what it's worth. You can make up your own mind, but here's how we came down in our scoring. That seemed to work pretty good because it put the interests of the audience and the community first.
Well, and I think that's lost in a lot of cases. Yeah. I think that's a great point. Wayne, let me ask you this. Conservative commentator Scott Jennings has joined the LA Times editorial board, just a recent change after what they went through in November. Does that help a paper like the LA Times or any other gain credibility or gain any audience?
I'll be honest with you. I don't think so. I didn't have any problem with the Washington Post, the LA Times, you know, not making endorsement. I just wish they would have done it last year and made that decision. To do it that close to the election, saying we're not going to endorse a candidate.
Yeah, good point.
That just smacked of we're scared of something. You know, the Wall Street Journal for years, the way they've done it is.
You think that was reacting to Trump fear if he
yes,
gets elected?
Yeah, I think they were worried Trump was going to get elected. The Wall Street Journal will just say, they don't do endorsements. What they do is say, here's what the country will look like under a Trump presidency. Here's what it's going to look like under a Harris presidency.
So a better way to do it, in your estimation?
That's the way they
I
did
would
it.
Think and so.
That's, yeah, I appreciate that, but I really don't follow endorsements. I mean, it's great they make them, but I'm not going to make my decision based on their endorsements.
Just a couple minutes left in the segment. Headline from Glenn Beck's The Blaze News. Trump reportedly considering cutting out mainstream media from the press room in favor of independents. We're talking the Joe Rogans or other independent, non-corporate affiliated journalists coming into the press room. With this changing media landscape, does that make sense to you guys?
Doesn't to me. I think it's just silly. I think it's silly and it's petty.
Matt?
I don't agree with it. I think
little confirmation bias here on you guys' part since you come from that world.
Maybe.
Well, it also takes away any kind of, you know, incentive to change. Frankly, if you're somebody who's like, okay, you know, I've read the tea leaves of this election, let's adjust. Let's you know, come and approach our coverage in a way that is reflective of, you know, a country or a state that is 50-50, you know, basically for or against this person, then you're already cut out of the White House. Then what do you do? I think that a better approach for Donald Trump, considering that, you know, I think would just be more inclusive of the different types of media. Look at
we could go back to the Jim Acosta thing where they took the microphone out of his hand. He didn't want to give it back to him.
Well, there are rules of behavior. But I mean, look at, for example, Joe and Mika from Morning Joe. Mm-hmm. We brought that up earlier. You know, they went down to Mar-a-Lago to meet with him. They're clearly, you know, considering changing their approach to Donald Trump.
They're taking heat from inside their own building for having done that, though. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Yeah. But do you lock them out because they belong to MSNBC? I don't think that's a good way to go.
Well, I can understand that. Again, setting some rules may be the way to go and see if they can follow them. We continue with more thoughts on this new media when we come back on the Florida Roundtable on the Florida News Network.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you use insulin or have had hypoglycemic events, you may qualify. Call U.S. Med now to learn more.
800-513-1652. 800-513-1652. 800-513-1652. That's 800-513-1652.
Splish, splash, I'm taking up.
Everything okay in here?
Oh, yeah, sure is.
You're wearing a life jacket.
Sure am.
In the tub?
Practicing for when we head to the lake. I read about wearing one at wearitflorida.com.
And wearitflorida.com told you to wear it in the tub?
Nope, that was my idea. You know, Florida is the leader in boating fatalities, so a life jacket can save lives.
As you were.
Splish, splash, I was taken.
Learn more at wearitflorida.com.
From sugar cookie crumbs in the kitchen to pine needles under the tree, count on Steel for Christmas cleanup made easy with the SEA20 battery-powered handheld vacuum. Now just $99.99. Power up the holiday and give a gift from the top of their wish list. Visit your local Steel dealer today or shop online at steelusa.com. Was $159.99 MSRP. Includes battery and charger. Offer valid for a limited time only at participating dealers while supplies last.
This holiday season, make it memorable and safe. Celebrate responsibly and don't get behind the wheel if you're impaired. Plan ahead and designate a driver or use a rideshare service. If you spot an impaired driver, don't hesitate to dial *FHP. That's *347. Your call could save a life. From highway to holiday, arrive alive this season. For more tips, visit flhsmv.gov/holiday. Brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Shortness of breath, patient's confused. Temp 102.
He just had an infection. What's going on?
He's becoming septic.
Antibiotics started. Bed ready. Let's move him.
Infections can lead to a deadly chain reaction in your body called sepsis. Very quickly, sepsis can cause tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. If you know the risks, can spot the symptoms, and act fast, then you can get ahead of sepsis. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had Zika virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Thanks for spending your time with us on the Florida Roundtable this weekend. Wayne Price and Matt Reed with me, journalists, as we discuss the new media landscape. Phil's got a story from the Daily Caller. News outlet tied to first Trump impeachment exposed for taking huge funding from State Department. Government buying the news. And we've seen this in Florida several months ago. Story broke about FPL trying to buy a newspaper and then going to publish favorable stories about what they do. Everybody wants favorable press. And if that goes on, we've got credibility issues. What about government-funded media? I mean, the Biden administration has been accused of it for the last 4 years anyway.
I'll let Matt start with this one. Okay.
Nothing like throwing a firecracker in the room and watching people scatter.
I think that we're seeing far more dynamism in the market and more invention and more voices coming into the journalism world and in media, with it being primarily a profit-driven pursuit.
Well, as you mentioned earlier, it was tougher to finance the new media than it was the newspaper when that's what everybody had.
Yeah. I saw a really intriguing op-ed in the Journal about a week ago, and it was about the Corporation for National Broadcasting and, and NPR and the like. And one of the this was written by a conservative former board member for them, and he said, probably better to keep it government-funded than to leave it to just liberal think tanks and foundations to fund it, because they're going to keep going with the brand of a national charter. Okay. But what he would like to have seen is more of this money go out in grants to local public television and radio things to fill that void of coverage that people need of local government to watchdog how things are going, while the rest of the world figures out how they're going to make money from this.
Well, on that front, though, I did a story a couple of weeks ago on my morning show that was from the Orlando Sentinel, and there was a note at the end of the column. This journalist, who had an Orlando Sentinel website or email address, is paid for by an outside entity, not the newspaper itself, to cover specific issues. We're starting to see more and more of that. Does that taint the news, or does that enhance the availability of that news to the consumer?
I think if it's done right, that works. I mean, that's happening locally with a reporter they have covering mental health issues, and that's being funded by a grant. I've gotten
so that makes it attractive for the print entity to say we've got an employee that we wouldn't have had otherwise.
It's under a contract, so it's a specific amount of time, 1 to 2 years, and we're going to focus on these certain issues. But beyond that, the funder is kind of hands off. The journalist to the journalist, but we want to focus on this particular issue, and find what you may. And I'm working with other organizations to try to match those nonprofits up with grant writers.
I want a grant from the Foundation on Media Integrity. We could just do this show every week.
But back to your point, I don't think I want to see government ever being involved
in paying for
news. That ruins all the credibility.
It smacks of state-run media, right?
Exactly.
And that's not where we want to go. Guys, we got 40 seconds here. The new media, does it survive? Does it earn credibility? Does legacy media survive as well? Is it going to happen? Matt, we'll start with you.
I think we're in the middle of an incredible mashup where just about everybody is trying each other's media and business models. You've got TV stations running websites and newspapers getting into TV.
So we're putting the recipe together to see what's going to bake.
A million different, yes, exactly, and we don't know what's going to happen.
Wayne, what do you think?
Locally, I think they're going to survive. Nationally, I'm not so sure.
Find us at BillMick.com, catch the podcast, and join us next week for our next edition of the Florida Roundtable. Gentlemen, thank you. It's been a fun hour.
You've been listening to the Florida Roundtable with Bill Mick, a news and public affairs presentation of the Florida News Network. The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station management, owners, or sponsors. For questions or concerns, contact Florida Roundtable at fnnonline.net.